Is it on? Okay, thank you. As we look around us this morning, and as we've listened to that word, that interpretation that Keith brought, what we need to do is we need to just have a look around and see who's not in the house of God. Don't leave it up to Yvonne and I to phone the people to find out, are they well? Are they all right? And we miss them in church. It's over to each person in the church to miss somebody and to make contact with them and bring them into the house of the Lord. So please do remember that. It's important that we do this because it's for the growth of the church. You know, this church is rather peculiar in that 1 week it's got a lot of people in it. The next week there are fewer people in it. The following week it's got a lot of people in it. But let's come to the place where we're going to be consistent with God, where we're going to miss our people, where we're going to pray with our people and believe with our people for them to come into the house of the Lord, for these services to be so exciting, so filled with the power and the glory of God that the people will want to be in the house of the Lord. Does that sound good to you? Yes, it sounds good to us, and we need to try to do that. So I want you to turn with me, and I can get this right. This is quite a thing, this getting up here and getting ready and getting everything going. But I will get this right. I'll show you how I'm going to do it in just a little while. But I want you to turn with me in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. And I'm not going to read the entire section of those scriptures, but what I am doing is I'm asking you to make place for the reality of God in your life. Make place for the reality of God in your life. 1 Chronicles 13, 2 and 3. It's where David had decided that the Ark of the Covenant had been away from Israel for too long. You will remember that the Philistines captured it, and they eventually sent it away because it killed their god Dagon, and they sent it back to Israel. Israel's didn't know what to do with it, so they stuck it in a house. David didn't know how to fetch it, so he ended up getting people killed. And eventually, he made this decision. Let us bring the Ark of God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. You see, what used to take place is the Ark of God represented the presence of God. In the book of Exodus, God said, it is there that I will meet you. It is there that I'm going to speak with you. So the Ark of God is a very important aspect in the worship of Israel. The Holy Spirit is a very important aspect in our worship of God. He's the one who inspires us. He's the one who prompts us. He's the one who leads us and guides us. And David was missing this. And he said, it is time that we brought the Ark of God back into our midst. Now, I want to make a statement, and I want you to remember this right at the very beginning. Remember it right through this message. And it is simply this. The most important aspect of God in your life is the need to make room for Him. We have to make room for God. I'm going to explain this in just a little while. It's necessary. It is vital that Sundays isn't good enough. The short devotions that we have in the week is not good enough. We have to make room for God in our lives so that He can be the Lord of Lords. You know, when David ceased to be king, when he died, Solomon became the king of Israel. Now, in the early years, his heart was set on God. How many of us can remember when our hearts were set on God? We've grown cold. We've grown indifferent. It's become more of a religious act in our lives than it is a relationship with God. The first love that the book of Revelation speaks about is gone. And we've got to move into the place where we can be in that first love relationship with God. In other words, we've got to make more room for God in our lives. Somebody might say, well, how do I do that? I work. I drive a long way to work. There's a whole lot of things happening in my life. You're not dumb. And neither are you stupid. We can speak to the Lord. We can put in a CD. There's a lot of things that we can do. You know, sometimes we need to fill our house with the music of the Lord, the loveliness of God. A little while ago, I was counseling with a person, and I said to this person what you need to do in the problems and the difficulties that you are having, fill your house with the Word of God. Fill your house with the music, with the songs, with the choruses that are being sung, and let the Spirit of God just feed you in that particular experience that we have. We have to make room for God. Solomon became the king. He was a young man when he became the king. And you know, in his early years, his heart was set on God. In fact, there is one place in the Word of God where he says, I am as a child. I cannot go in. I cannot come in, and I cannot go out on my own. I am as a child. I need your presence. I need your power. He's basically saying to God, Lord, help me to make room for you in my life. Folk, it's not the other way around. God finding us. It's us making room for the presence of God in our lives. Solomon came in his early years. He wanted to know what the will of God was. Where is this thing going to take us? What is the kingdom of Israel going to be? How are we going to lead it? How are we going to set this thing up? And he wanted to know what God's plan was for the success during the time that he was going to be king. Now, unfortunately, he slipped up and he went away. But those beginning years, those beginning times, this man sought the face of God. And he was honest enough to say, Lord, I am a child. I need you. I need your presence and your power. And in the Living Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, we read these words. One night Solomon went into his room and he was sleeping. And in this time of resting that he was having, the Lord appeared to him. Folk, I want to tell you that God can appear to us in dreams. Psalm 138 verse 8 says, God will fulfill the plans He has for your life. God has got plans for every one of our lives. And it is not just to sit in church on a Sunday. It's to relate to God. It's to have His power in our lives. And the Lord appeared to him in a dream at night. And He told him to ask anything he wanted and it would be given to him. Wow! Where does that put us into? That puts us into the place where we want a Mercedes, Rolls, or we want to go to Mars with these stupid people. It puts us into the place where we feel prosperity. But you heard the story of the 23-year-old couple. They were courting, and they decided that they would get married. So at 23 years old, they got married. And when they celebrated their 50th, they were now 63. So their children, bless their hearts, gave them a holiday, 73. My math isn't right. But in any case, their children gave them this holiday, and they went to the Seychelles, and they were walking along the beach, and somebody came, the woman found a bottle floating in the surf. So she went, picked it up, took off the cork, and out came a genie. And he said to her, anything that you ask me, I will give it to you. Anything. And she asked the genie to give her the biggest, the most expensive diamond ring that has ever been made. That's what she wanted. So he went over to the man and he said, what do you want? And he said, well, that isn't hard. I want a wife that is 50 years younger than me. That's what the man always asks for. A 50-year-old younger than he is. And when he looked at himself, she was still the same age, and he was... But the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is the God we serve. He loves you. He loves me. And He wants to give to us the desire of His heart. This is what He says in His Word. And He said to him, ask anything that you want, and it will be given to you. The answer that Solomon gave to the Lord was what should really and truly grip our ears. It should capture our attention. 1 Kings 3 verse 9. Give your servant understanding. Give your servant understanding. Or an understanding heart that I may discern between good and evil. And God gave it to him, but obviously he didn't keep it. Because he ran after women like nobody's business. But this was what he wanted. He could have had all of the gold, the treasures of the world. But he said, I want understanding and I want to discern between good and evil. I want to say to you this morning, whoever you are, whoever we are, God will give us an understanding heart. If we just seek the Lord, serve God with all of our hearts, He will give us an understanding heart and He will give us discernment. The Lord appeared to him in a dream. Don't you long for that? That the Lord will appear to us in a dream and He will speak to us. And that particular night he told Solomon, ask what you want and I will give it to you. Listen, we've got to focus on the need to ask God for the right things. We don't ask God for the right things. We are always in the prosperity mode. This is the prosperity mode. A nice house. I want to live at Featherbrook or wherever it is. I want to live in absolute luxury. But we need to learn to ask God for the right things, to make space for God in our lives. I want to put it like this. Now, the little girls, as they grew up, they had imaginary friends. The youngsters can identify with that. You had imaginary friends, didn't you? Not. My little girl, when she was small, she had imaginary friends. She used to play with them in the garden and have fun. Now, I want you to develop an imaginary room in your life. Somewhere in your life, develop an imaginary room. There's a man called Mark Ganga. And he's got this thing of women and men all sorted out. The woman's brain is all wired up, but it's all knotted and all sorts of things. That's the woman's brain. He says that. I don't. The men's brain is set in order in boxes. You can get the Mark Ganga tapes and listen to them. You'll enjoy it. And you know, that's what we need to do. We need to set our lives in boxes. Set space for God. Make room for the Lord. And I believe that we can do that. That He will deposit, as He does that, He will deposit something positively and godly in every single one of us. This is what we need. We need that godliness. We started off so fantastically this year. And what was it with? It was with godliness. It was with the Word of God. It was listening for the voice of God. It was praying. It was seeking God. It was fasting. We started off so well. And we must not stop. We've got to move on with this relationship with God. I want to ask you, what is wrong with a Friday evening slipping down to the church for an hour and coming and praying with us? There's nothing wrong with it. I battled to get Yvonne to do it, but she's doing it. We can come down and just spend that hour. It's only an hour. Jesus said in Gethsemane to the disciples, could you not spend 1 hour with me? Let's spend an hour with God. And come here and seek the face of God. Seek the face of God for the church. Seek the face of God for the anointing of the Spirit. Seek the face of God for conversions. Seek the face of God for healing. Seek the face of God that the promises will be fulfilled and that people will be healed by the glory and the honor of God. Why can't it be done? 6 years ago, I had prostate cancer. Everything was set for the surgery to be done. Before I went into the hospital, Yvonne and I went to see the doctor. We went to speak about options. What are our alternatives? Do you know what we found our alternatives were? Prayer. Seeking the face of God. 6 years ago, that thing was confirmed. Cancer. It's gone. The place we give God in our lives is important. I just wish I had time to tell you the spiritual experience that we went through, Yvonne and I went through at that time. It was as if God was was there personally, that we could touch him, that we could feel him, that we could hear him. And as we were speaking about options and alternatives, we could hear the voice of God saying, options and alternatives. The doctor that I go to in Pretoria is a very busy man. You can't get in there. I phoned the Monday. Can I come Tuesday? Sure. And he gave us over an hour. He phoned his professor. He was speaking to people. What can we do? The professor says, the operation. And here today, it's still right. You see, God has a plan for your life. He wants to help us. It's not all about healing, it's all about God. It's about the presence of God. It's not about that fancy car or that fat bank account that somebody might have. It's about God. And it's about serving God. We've in seeking to have the reality of God in our lives, one spiritual must come to the foreground in our hearts. The place we give Him. I'm asking you to give God place. I'm asking myself as I prepared this message, give God more place in your life. Psalm 80, verse 14 says, return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine which your right hand has planted. This is what we want, the presence of God. We don't want to play games. I know you want the presence of God. Well, let's make more room for God in our lives. Let's make more room for God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13. God says to him, and I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. Isn't that amazing? God can do it. He can still do it today. I have also given you what you haven't asked, both riches and honor. In the past few weeks, here in this church, God has spoken to us in a very precious and in a tender voice. He's been hearing us. A little while ago, I was praying for God to open a door on the pillar at our house in our lounge. We've got, what's it called? A tapestry. We got it from America. That's American culture. They do that stuff. So we got this tapestry. And it says if God closes a door, He will open another one. And I'm sitting watching this. And I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, open a door. Lord, open a door. Lord, open a door. Many times we're asking God to do something. He's already done it. And the voice of God spoke to me. He said, I have already opened the door. Walk through it. Walk through it. You see, there's a relationship between us and God. And when we are beginning to make room for God, we are finding out that God has already done things in our lives. He told us, and this is very precious, when we were reading the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we got to chapter 18. We all got there on the same day. We might not have seen the same things, but He told us, especially he told me, that there is a harvest in this town that has not been touched by the Christians. There's a harvest in every town that hasn't been touched by Christians. But this is the town we are living in. And there's a harvest that has not been touched. Somebody told me the other day that he went to a place of business to have some business done, and there were a few men sitting there, few people sitting there waiting for their particular aspect of the job to be done. And he's one of these guys, they wind him up in the morning. You know, like those Volkswagens. They wind this thing up and it goes all day. And he was sitting there and he was wound up by the Spirit of God. And he began to speak. And he began to share with a man about Jesus. And then there were two. Then there were three. Then there were five. Then there were six who were listening to this man telling them about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who lives in 2015, who delivered him years ago from a problem in his life. And this experience is so real to him that when he gets the opportunity and he gets himself a few people, he speaks to them and he tells them about Jesus. Now, folk, that's not the hardest thing, is it? To speak to somebody about Jesus. Yvonne goes to the supermarket and she speaks to the cashier and she says, "You look a little bit down today. Look a bit sad. But you know, I know somebody who can make you happy. His name is Jesus." And she walks away from that cashier, having spoken to her about Jesus, the Son of God, in her life. He told us that there's a harvest in this town, and it has not been touched by Christians. How did he tell us? He said, "I have many people in this city. I have many people in this city." And we can begin to move into that place where we can reach these people for God. David said this about the presence of God. "Let us fetch the ark of God. For while Saul lived, we thought that we, the people, never needed it." Let us fetch the ark of God. I'm asking you this morning, fetch the ark of God. Fetch the presence of God. Determine in your heart and in your life today that by the grace of God, you're going to fetch the presence of God. You're going to bring that presence of God in your room, in your life. You're going to make room for what is the important thing in our lives. It's what we need. What we make room for is what we will have in our lives. It's God. Make room for God in your life. In 2 Kings chapter 10, we have another one of those amazing happenings. The way that God worked in his life or in his experience in the life of a person. There was a notable couple in a place called Shunan. And what they did is they made a room for the prophet. Now here's my illustration and then I'm closing off. They made a room for the prophet in their home. They were later blessed by God and rewarded by the Lord with a son. And up to that time, they were childless. But they made a room in their house for God. I wonder what's going to happen to us when we make room in our lives for God. What will happen? I'm sure that we will be absolutely surprised when we make room for God in our lives. And this couple were surprised by getting a child. God gave them a son because they made room in their home for the prophet of God, in the presence of God. They made room. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, no one has ever given to God that God has not given it back to him. You can read it for yourself. You can have a look at it. No one has ever given to God that God has not given it back. They made room in their home for God. And they got their son. Later on, when that little boy grew up a bit, he went with his father into the farmland, and something happened to his life. He might have got sunstroke. He might have had a hemorrhage of the brain, because a hemorrhage of the brain goes with this statement. Oh, my head. Read it in the Bible. Check out in the King James Bible. And you'll find that this little boy grabbed his head and said, oh, my head. And that is indicative being used even today of a hemorrhage of the brain. And he died. Do you know what I believe? That God has birthed in us the desire for his presence, just like David did. He's birthed that in our heart. When the father went back to his wife and told her that the boy was dead, she took that child to the prophet's room. She got onto a donkey and she went and she found that prophet and she came back to his house. She brought him back. And she told him what had taken place. That prophet went up to that room. He spent a few minutes there. And he came down from that room into the rest of the house and gave that boy alive back to his mother. But I want to hear you this morning. I want to hear you tell me this morning, God will move heaven and earth to breathe life into what he has birthed in our life. God will move heaven and earth to birth this that he has given to us in our lives. In David's day, David had to make a 15-mile journey to find the missing ark of God. He did that at great expense, and he made room for God in his life. David knew that there was no more to the reality of God than what they had as a nation, what they were experiencing, the Ark of the Covenant. It represented his presence and the Lord of the nation. They made room for God. They made room for God. If you remember nothing else about this message, remember this: make room for God. Make room for God. God has not left himself without witness, is what the Bible tells us. Neither reward for making room for God. When David decided to fetch the ark, he wanted all of his people, the entire nation, to be part of that blessing and to make room for God in their life. That woman and her husband made room for the prophet of God in their home. But we read that the child was a greater blessing to them than they ever, ever believed. Make room in your life and see what the King of glory will do for you. Will you stand with me, please? Father, as we stand before you this morning, we're here because there's a desperate need in some of our lives. Some of us are more fortunate than others. We have drawn closer to the Lord, and we are blessed. There are others of us who need to draw close to God. And the best way that I can put it this morning is to make room for God in our lives. To give Him the opportunity to work, to move, and to bless in our lives like we've never been blessed before. To feel that presence and that power of God like we've never felt it before. Lord, we need to make room in our lives for God. And I want to take this opportunity to invite everyone that is present. Please make room in your life for God. When God spoke to Solomon in that dream, He gave him what he asked for. He asked for understanding, for wisdom, for discernment. And then later God said to him, I've given you more than you've asked. And I believe we can come into that place in our lives where we will have more of God in our lives, more of His reality and His presence in our lives. I want you to speak to the Lord right now. There's so many things that bother our lives, that grip our lives, that take our attention. Let's give our attention to God. Take a few moments and pray. Here I am standing in your presence. I might be at the place of the height of my relationship with God, and yet I might be at the low place. And I ask you this morning in the name of Jesus, as you've been good to us in these last couple of weeks and months, you've blessed us. Lord, I pray, revive your work in the midst of the years. Bring back the anointing. Bring back the glory. Bring back the majesty of Almighty God in our lives, that we will see great and wonderful things taking place in our lives, in this church, in this ministry, for the glory and the honor of God. Help us, Lord, by the power of God, by the majesty of God. Help us, our Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray that we will make more room for you in our lives. We will give time to you, and we will benefit from that as you deposit our lives with the blessing, the grace, and the glory of God. The Word of God tells us, I have received of the Lord that which I received from Him. That the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and He blessed it. And He said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. And in the same manner also He took the cup and said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And this morning, as we take this bread and as we take this cup, let us do it in the attitude of making room for God, more room for God. The opportunities that he gives us, let us not miss them. Let us take advantage of every opportunity we can. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless this bread, I bless this cup in the name of Jesus. And let this be a time of breaking of bread and of taking of the cup, such as we have never had for a long time. And so we take this morning in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I want you to come, make place for God in your life, and take bread and take the cup. Will you do that, please?